tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's July 3rd, 2025, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. It wasn't too long ago that Elon Musk was talking about infinite demand for not only his automobiles, but his solar, his battery energy storage, and ultimately his consumer humanoid robot Optimus thing. Things do not seem super awesome over there right now. Obviously, sales are tanking globally. The only bright spot seems to be the battery energy storage system and the solar, which is now under attack from, you know, the big, beautiful bill from Elon's buddy Trump that he helped elect. Yeah, it gets worse and worse the deeper you look at it. Tesla has confirmed that Cybertruck sales are down to just 5,000 units in Q2 of 2025. That is a long, long way from the quote-unquote conservative 250,000 unit demand that Elon was talking about back in 2020, 2021, when this was still a new and exciting concept. And, he hadn't made his politics as publicly known as he has today. Tesla's notoriously opaque with its vehicle sales. The automaker hides the health of its vehicle programs by bundling several of its models into categories. Model 3 and Y get lumped together despite both being large and different vehicles. And the Model S, X, Cybertruck, and Tesla Semi occupy a single, quote, other models category. With the release of Tesla's Q2 delivery and production results, Tesla confirmed the production of 13,409 other models and the delivery of 10,394 units. Other models is now down to less than half of its peak in 2024, when Tesla was still benefiting from a backlog of Cybertruck reservations. However, sales have dropped significantly in 2025, despite increased incentives to buy the electric truck, including access to the $7,500 tax credit, a reduced price from launch, and 0% financing in several markets. Definitely not looking good. And look again at those production numbers versus deliveries, right? If you had an automaker that was delivering 30% fewer vehicles than it produced in a quarter, you would be sounding the alarm bells. But the stock price at Tesla has nothing to do with the actual health of the business. It's all driven by hype, AI, and algorithms. And another thing that's being driven by AI and algorithms and hype is Tesla Optimus. That department is reportedly in shambles as the head of the program exits and production is delayed again. Optimus is reportedly in disarray amid the departure of Senior Vice President Milan Kovac. Production has been delayed due to a new redesign as the robot has yet to prove useful in Tesla's factories. That's according to Fred Lambert, our resident Tesla expert, who writes, Elon Musk previously had a goal for Tesla to produce 5,000 to 10,000 Optimus humanoid robots this year. The goal has reportedly been delayed as sources within the Chinese supply chain report Tesla informed suppliers of a two-month halt on all orders. AI Invest first reported the news, and the information later corroborated the report, quoting, two supplier sources said Tesla has not explicitly stated it will reduce robot parts orders, but will wait until the Optimus design adjustments are completed before finalizing a new mass production plan and resuming procurement. The adjustments may take 2 months. Musk recently stated on social media that the new version of Optimus has seen significant improvements over the second-gen Optimus unveiled in 2023 and now includes voice interaction powered by Grok. So if you wanted a racist robot that didn't look quite as good as the ones from Hyundai, this is the one that you want to buy. The news came after we learned that Milan Kovac, the head of Optimus program, left Tesla just months after being promoted to senior VP by Musk. The new reports confirmed that Ashok Illaswamy, who was elevated to senior VP in charge of self-driving at the same time as Kovac, is taking over his responsibility. So, you don't want to kick Tesla when they're down. But hey, they're kind of just going down, right? I mean, we'll see what happens with Elon taking over the sales department. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe, Elon's lack of involvement was the issue and not Elon's involvement directly. But hey, it's about to get much, much worse because even though a Tesla $25,000 affordable EV is not coming, an affordable EV from Hyundai very, very much is. The new electric crossover SUV, likely to be called the IONIQ 2, is set to debut in the coming months and will sit below the Kona Electric as Hyundai expands its entry-level EV lineup. Hyundai's new electric crossover is expected to be a mechanical twin to the Kia EV2, which will likely arrive just ahead of it early next year. Like the EV3, it's going to be powered by either a 58 or 81 kilowatt-hour battery pack option, the former providing a WLTP range of 267 miles, while the latter is rated at up to 372 miles. All trims are powered by a single electric motor up front, producing 200 horsepower and 209 pound-feet of torque at zero RPM. So it will definitely be zippy. Although it may share the same underpinnings as the EV2, Hyundai's new entry-level EV will feature an advanced new software and infotainment system. So that's going to be an exciting car. I think that's going to really turn the tide, even though we're seeing that now right about one in four cars are now being registered in the US are EVs. Now note, cars is distinct from SUVs, crossovers, and minivans. So a lot of people will say, well, that's not true. That doesn't include pickup trucks. You're right. Those are trucks, not cars. One in four cars in the US currently is an EV. You're going to see some more confirmation of that in the coming days, but trust me on that one. Now, we started off this show talking about Infiniti. Well, there is the Infiniti train. This is something that I wrote about a couple of weeks ago. Fortescue, the global mining giant, has been developing this with Williams Engineering. Yes, that's the same Williams from Formula One. They have taken the wraps off an official functioning prototype. This is an electric locomotive that made a 685-mile trip from Perth to the Pilbara, marking a major milestone in the decarbonization of the company's heavy haul operations. And it did this without the need to recharge, and it's never going to need to recharge, because where it starts in Perth, it gets loaded up with millions of tons of iron ore, and it coasts on its regenerative braking all the way down to Pilbara. And there it has enough energy to bring its unloaded, unladen rail cars back up to Perth to be reloaded again. And it's using so much less energy than it harvests on the way back that it never needs to be plugged in or recharged once it's been originally plugged in. Now, we first saw this concept back in March of 2022. Last week, the concept went from the drawing board officially into the real world, completing a real 1,100-kilometer trip across Australia and proving itself to be more than up to the task of handling the grueling demands of Fortescue's massive mining operations. Quote, "We are thrilled to see our battery electric locomotive prototype arrive in the Pilbara," said Ellie Coates, CEO of Fortescue Zero. She added that the achievement using zero fossil fuels represents a major step in Fortescue's journey to real zero. Real zero, of course, being its zero emissions operations. The Fortescue Infiniti train uses the energy produced by slowing the loaded train on downhill sections of the company's 385-mile private heavy haul rail network to recharge its battery systems. That energy is enough to bring the unladen train back to the mine, eliminating the need for external charging infrastructure or additional battery sources, making the train almost entirely self-sufficient. It gets even better than that. You can actually load extra batteries onto this BESS systems and make it kind of a rolling power station to charge up any other vehicles, wheel loaders, or anything like that in the event that grid energy fails. This is a very, very, very cool concept. We're super excited about it. And so is Fortescue, saying the deployment of the Infiniti train concept at its mines will eliminate more than 82 million liters of diesel fuel consumption. That's about 21 million gallons if you come from a country that's landed on the moon, which ChatGPT tells me amounts to about 235,200 tons of emissions. There's been a bunch of people in the comments who complain about me using ChatGPT for that, saying that it's really simple math, but hey, they've obviously not met a lot of journalism or comms majors. That's pretty complicated for us. That change alone would eliminate about 11% of scope one emissions annually for Fortescue, all on its own, putting it well on its way to its stated goal of real zero emission free operations. Now, we talked about this being a concept that was originally displayed by Williams Engineering back in 2022. Engineering with Rosie, one of my all-time favorite YouTube channels. They did a great job explaining this. There's a link to this in the show notes. This is a super cool video. She goes into some really good explainers talking about how it works, why it works. There's graphs, there's charts. She basically explains it like I'm five, which is what I needed to fully understand this concept. If that sounds like you, check out Engineering with Rosie. Look up the Infiniti train and you'll enjoy that. Now, finally, we like to end these shows talking about sustainability, talking about the grid, talking about politics. We're not going to do that today again either. That's because the Formula Sun Grand Prix 2025 is kicked off and underway. We've got new teams, new cars, but that same solar spirit. The sun has set on a frantic day of scrutineering at this year's electric Formula Sun Grand Prix as teams scramble to qualify for a spot on the starting line tomorrow morning. That's today, because we're a day behind, right? That's how this works. Electric FSGP 2025 is shaping up to be one of the events most attended ever, thanks to a strong showing of first-time and returning schools. That also means new and unproven vehicles on the track. It's going to be really exciting. Northwestern University is back with a new car this season. It's eighth since the team's original inception in 1997 during the GM Sun Racing days. Motor Controller, which is responsible for managing the flow of power, was given to them by the Stanford team. Stanford had extras and could spare one for Northwestern, which needed a replacement. Doesn't stop there. Two members of the Northwestern team told me four other teams helped them with a serious tire replacement around 1 a.m. Wednesday, saving them from missing important scrutineering. This is part of an exciting year for a West Virginia team celebrating its 35th anniversary as a solar race team, making them one of the oldest teams on track. With age comes wisdom. West Virginia is competing again this year with its single-occupant vehicle, Sunseeker. The team ran into issues after last year's American Solar Challenge cross-country event when the vehicle's control arm, an important part of the suspension that connects the wheels to the chassis, snapped. They tell us this year they're back with a redesigned control arm made of aluminum and steel. Thank you, Haley, John, and Izzy, for taking the time to talk. Now, obviously, making something out of carbon fiber makes it lighter and stronger, but when it does fail, it tends to snap, where something made out of aluminum tends to bend, and you can kind of hammer that back into place. It's not awesome, but you know, it's an old race car thing. You can get it back on the track. You got to finish to win, right? We all watch Days of Thunder. That's what they talk about. We're also seeing new builds this year from University of Florida, University of Puerto Rico, NC State, UC Irvine. There is an entire list of schools competing with links to them. Definitely give your support. This is a great event. And hey, if you want to make a donation to this event, you want to sponsor this event, it is entirely tax deductible as a nonprofit. We've got some great pictures of these cars. These are so, so cool. Love that 95 foam core that brings back a ton of memories of building some of these things over at Mosler Automotive back when it was in the old Consolier days and we had foam core cars and parts, and it was really a good time. So definitely go check these guys out. Follow along with this every day. Super exciting, super cool. And that's all I've got for today, July 3rd. I will be back again tomorrow, possibly for a short holiday episode, or who knows, we might have some really crazy stuff happening that I'll have to cover because the world is a ceaseless nightmare. And I'm bearing witness, and maybe you are too.